Okay, we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We stopped last week at verse 34. We spent some time on Judas and why we thought, or some reasons we could have given why he fell away, what the process was. It happens to many people. But now, remember, the Pharisees have officially sent the word to take Jesus if he shows up at the temple. So they're openly coming against him now. He's still speaking, though, and he's told the people, who he is, basically, and that he came down from heaven, and he came from the Father, and they still have a problem. Remember, many of these people, the way Jesus taught at times, he did not reveal everything at once. Many believed he was a prophet. Many believed he was a teacher. Some believed he was the Messiah, but they didn't fully have a comprehension that the Messiah was the Word of God, or God in the flesh. And even his own disciples, until the resurrection, had a hard time. They didn't fully understand many of these things. Even Mary pondered many things in her heart. And the Scripture says that the Lord hid these things. There was a time and a place to reveal these things to them. And when the Holy Spirit came, then they remembered, and many things he told them, all of a sudden, it was like a light went on. But while he was with them, he said some things, and they only got partially what he was saying. And when he talked to the Pharisees, God kept from them many truths because of their wickedness. Jesus could come out and tell them forthright who he was, and they mentally, in a sense, could not really comprehend what he was saying. And yet they were very intellectual, because spiritual things have nothing to do with how smart you are. It has to do with your spiritual heart and what God reveals to you. And we're going to see his principles over and over again. When God reveals something and he begins to give you light, if you do not respond to that light is taken from you. You become harder. And that's why you can have many intellectual people who still cannot understand who Jesus is and claim to be Christians, and yet they're not saved. Yet they believe mentally who Jesus is. The devils believe this. They know who Jesus is, and it has not saved them. So we're going to see there's a distinction in the Scriptures between believing mentally and believing to obedience. See, many will believe mentally. We have 2 billion people in the world who believe Jesus is the Son of God, and most of them are on their way to hell. That belief has not saved them. It has not caused them to obey the Lord, nor commit their lives or follow him. Therefore, from the Lord's perspective, they're not his. Doesn't matter what they believe here. That belief, again, we will see when he uses the word belief, when John uses the word belief about 60 times in the gospel, it means to commit yourself to obey. It has nothing to do with mental assent of believing he's the Son of God. Remember, the demons, when Jesus stood in their presence at times, they came out before the disciples did, before they fully understood who he was, and said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel. You're Jehovah God in the flesh." And Jesus told them to be quiet. He did not need their testimony, but they knew who he was. And they said, "What have you come to torment us before the time?" The demons know that they're going to be consigned to hell at Judgment Day. And they were terrorized that Jesus might throw them into hell at that moment. Why? Because they knew who he was. So again, they had the mental knowledge of who he was, but it has not saved them. Nor will it save them. So we're going to see distinctions given in Scripture between believing with your head and doctrinal facts, mental assent, we call it, and believing from obedient heart. There's quite a different distinction in Scripture. And that's why you'll see that most people who claim to be Christians are not according to Scripture. Oh, they're in institutions and they're in churches, but it doesn't measure up with God's Word. They think, well, because I go to church and I've been baptized and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I'm a Christian. Scripture does not teach this. That's only a small part of the qualifications that the Lord gives for a person being a Christian. We're going to see not only must you believe right teaching, you must obey that teaching. You must follow what you believe. And that excludes a lot of people then who will mentally say, yeah, I know who Jesus is. Lord, Lord. And see, many Jesus said at the day of judgment would come to him and they will say, Lord, Lord. They recognize he's the Son of God. And he will say, I never knew you. You cursed of my Father into everlasting hell. But see, they're going to say, but we know, we believe you, Lord. And he'll say, but you did not believe to obey me. You did not commit your life to me. You lived as you pleased. So that kind of belief is unacceptable to God. See, even Jesus told the disciples, he said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do what I tell you? See, from his perspective, he don't consider you his. And so we see scripture, we got to see he gives the distinction, even with his own, not only how they become saved, but how they stay saved. Not only how they come to the Lord, but he gives the conditions of how they're to continue with the Lord. And they must continue to the end. So we see that Christianity is more a relationship. We need to liken it more. Our relationship with the Lord is more like a marriage than a marriage ceremony. See, many people go down to the altar, and when they say, I do, they say, we're married. You know? Well, see, in Christianity, the saying, I do, is just the beginning. But see, many people that say, I do, they go out and live their own lives. So today, that would be like going down and getting married and saying, I take you and you take me. And then you walk out of the church and you both go live with your boyfriend and girlfriend. But you got a piece of paper that says, what? We're legally married. But from God's perspective, Jesus does not accept people on those terms. It's like when you say, I do, you've counted the cost, you understand the conditions, and you've agreed to them. So when you say, I do, when we leave the church, you keep going with me. You know, you don't have your own life anymore. Your life is tied up with mine. See, this is what he says, you must be in Christ Jesus. You must be yoked. This is what it means to be joined to the Lord. This is what it means to believe in the Lord. Again, the word means to believe to the point that you obey. That's what John means when he says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with mental assent of who Jesus is. And so then you can see why many people who think they're Christians are not Christians. But they believe up here. But it has no effect on their life or their lifestyle. There's no commitment to Jesus nor his word, you know, and therefore they're not his. Or they've fallen away if they knew him. Okay, 35, he has told them, 34, who he is. He's told them, I must be lifted up. They have a problem with this. On one hand, he's saying, I'm the Messiah. They expected something very different from the Messiah because they did not understand Scripture. And the Pharisees had taught him so many lies. They were expecting the Messiah to come and throw off the Romans and Jesus to rule as the Messiah. That's what they wanted. But that was not the timing of Jesus. He was saying, I must be lifted up. And he explained that to them, that he must die. Well, they didn't understand the dying or the suffering Messiah. They were looking for a king and a deliverer. See, they didn't understand, and God kept it from them because of the wickedness of their heart. The scripture teaches what he veiled, hid from them. And so they misunderstood his second coming when he does rule as king from his first coming when he had to come as the suffering servant and redeem and give up his life. So see, again, they were looking for what they wanted. And see, many people come to Christianity or a form of Christianity on their terms. See, they want Jesus on their terms. But it's unacceptable. It's false Christianity. Because God will not accept them on their term. They must come on his terms. Because his terms is the truth. That's why he said there is no other way. It must either be on his terms or it's unacceptable. So he's telling them this. They have a problem. They say, well, how can you talk about being lifted up? We thought when the Messiah come, he abides forever. Well, he does. After he's resurrected and when he's finished his work and when he alters the new heaven and earth, he will complete his work. So they again were expecting him to immediately become king and defeat the Romans. Remember, they were under the Roman control. And that's really what they wanted. They wanted a national hero. They didn't see themselves as being sinners. They thought they were chosen. They thought they were special. And the scripture called them, it said you were backslidden and lost, that you had forfeited your covenant with God. So again, many people, they want Jesus, but they don't think they need a Savior. They're not that bad. Until you have an understanding you're a sinner, you don't want a Savior. But he's saying, until you have that understanding, you cannot have Jesus. See, he came for those who are lost, which is mankind. So this is, again, what they're looking for, and they don't have a full understanding of what he's saying. So Jesus says unto them, again, the people, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. So what is he saying here? Again, he often used parables. He often used comparisons. Scripture still does this, that they could understand. They understood what he meant by being the light. When the Lord speaks of Jesus being the light or God being the light, he speaks of truth, of spiritual truth. See, this is what he's talking about. He is the light of the world. So he's come into what? Darkness always speaks of sin, the lie, and the work of the devil. So he's simply saying, I've come as the light. I'm the light of the world. Okay, you can hold your place or you can go with me. First of all, back up to John 6, verse 63. Again, he's speaking on spiritual terms here when he says he's a light. He's not saying I'm a light bulb or a candle, literally. Verse 63, it is the Spirit of God who gives life. And he's speaking of spiritual life. For the body profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom. Is what he's come. And again, he's using natural comparisons so they can understand. See, God always does this. He gives illustrations and lessons. You know, again, a picture is worth a thousand words. Sometimes it will explain, sometimes clearer what words can't. John 1, back up a little further. Look at verse 4 and 5. In him, who in God or Jesus Christ was life, spiritual life is what he's talking about, and the life was the light of men. So see, he claimed he came down from heaven. He did what? He was the Word of God, the Logos. He existed in equality as God, as part of the Godhead, and he took on the human nature. And he's saying what? For God to reveal certain truths because you're a sinner, God condescended. He cannot let you see or reveal himself to you as a sinner because the scripture says you would die spiritually. That's why he told Moses, no one can see me clearly and live. That's what he meant when he said you can't see my face. He didn't mean his physical face. He meant you can't fully comprehend me if you're in a sinful state and live and the presence of God's holiness. See, the scripture is very clear on this. So what did he do? He said he took on the nature of man. He took on humanity, in a sense, to veil, to conceal part of himself, yet he could deal with man on his terms. This is what he did. So Jesus, the Word of God, he always existed as God, took on the human nature. And what the scripture says, he was the light. He came into the world. And notice it says, the light shines. in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Man is in darkness of sin because of the fall and because of his sinful acts. And so God, in his grace, pursues man. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, sin immediately worked death in them. And what was the consequence of this? They were used to meeting with God in the cool of the day. The scripture says he came down. We don't know what form he came, but he came in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden and met with them. But after they sinned, when God came down in the cool of the day, what did they do? They instinctively fled from him. They hid. Why? Because sin gave them a knowledge of their evil. Once they disobeyed, they were no longer innocent and holy. And when he did pursue them, see, we always see God must pursue the sinner before he can be saved. The sinner instinctively flees from God because he's afraid of his judgment. And he has a right to. And so when God pursued him, he said, "Where are you?" You know, and they were hiding. And they said, "We were afraid." And he said, "Who told you?" You know, and he said, "We're afraid because we are naked. We're shameful." See, their holiness was removed from them. And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Well, you know who told them. When they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit, their spiritual understanding was opened by way of sin. And once sin entered the picture, it marred their relationship. And see, something was wrong with them. God had not changed. God's actions toward them had changed. Where they were innocent and holy, he could commune with them freely with no barrier. But once they sinned, his holiness has to judge sin. It comes out against it. And so he had to pursue them, to seek to redeem them. So we always see that God pursues the wicked, or they cannot be saved. But then when he pursues them and gives them the way, they must come on his terms. They cannot make up their own terms because they're unacceptable with God. A man cannot redeem himself. Once he has sinned against God, what does he have to offer? He can't say, "Well, I just won't sin no more." God says, "That's not enough. What are you going to do about the sin?" See, again, we see the holiness, the justice of God mixed with his grace and his mercy. God works them all together. And so man must submit to God's plans. So God sent his Son to be the what? The light of the world. We know that, you know, natural light, like from the sun, when it sheds its on the moon, it's a reflection. The moon is simply reflecting the sunlight. When it travels through space, you cannot see the light, but it's there. Only when it hits an object can you see what the light does. And so what God was saying was, in who I am, when I reveal myself to sinful man, I cannot show them who I am. So I chose to come into human form, and you will see who I am in Jesus Christ. You know, I will veil myself enough that you can see the Father in me, and I will reveal his plan, and you can communicate with me in a way you could not. So again, we see what he, this is what it means when the scripture says, he is the light of the world. He is the expression of the Father. John actually said he was face to face with God before he came to earth. Simply another way of saying he was the eternal God, part of the Godhead that took on the human nature. So see, again, much of this was veiled until the Holy Spirit, until the resurrection. Again, he kept some from his own because it wasn't the time to reveal certain things. Remember, he said, "There's many things I have to tell you, but you cannot bear them now." He had not died and purchased their salvation. Therefore, the Spirit could not enter them, and he could not reveal certain things until this was done. Okay, so again, we see, going on, he's telling them, "I am the light." He's telling the people that he's dealing with, "While you have me, walk with me. While I'm telling you the words of the Father and the plan of salvation and what God expects, listen to what I tell you. Because if you don't, darkness will overtake you. If you do not obey the light that I give you, then what's the option? darkness. The devil will take control of you again. You will not be free from his power, is basically what he's talking about. Okay? Again, when he speaks of light, what is he speaking of? He's speaking of spiritual truth and his words. When he's speaking of darkness, he's speaking of sin, that which and lies, and the power of the devil. This is basically what he's talking about. And again, Paul puts it very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So verses 3 and 4 first. And even if our gospel is hidden, that's what veiled means, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who are not saved, is what he's saying. In whose case the God of this world, who is the God of this world? The Bible says it's the devil. It means the world system, that which lies under his power, wickedness. He has blinded their minds, their hearts, their spiritual understanding of the unbelieving, the disobedient, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is what? The image of God. Again, what? When the light shines on him, when Jesus revealed himself, he revealed the Father. He said everything that, that's why he can make this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God, the Father, he said, but through me. That the Father is in me, and I am one with him, and there's no other way. And he's revealing himself through me. And see, the Pharisees sought another way. They didn't like this way. They wanted a way on their terms, and God could not give it to them. And they got darkness instead. And he warned them this would happen to them. He said, I've come in my Father's name. And he told the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and you don't receive me. If another comes, you'll believe him. But he also says, you will be damned. Because see, again, he was saying, there is no other way. I am the revealer of the Father. In verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our spirits to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So again, Paul's understanding, he's looking back and he's seeing what Jesus is saying. When Jesus came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say, I am a way or a truth. He would have been a liar to say this. He claimed to be God in the flesh, the revelation, limited. Condescended, but limited. See, again, he was purely God in the flesh, restrained, yet he was all human at the same time. See, this is how God chose to reveal, again, his way. Verse 36, while you have the light, he means the time you have me, and I'm telling you the words of truth that the Father has told me to give you, what does he say? Believe in the light. Believe in what I'm telling you. Why? Because it's the truth, and it's from God. See, Hebrews says that God spoke through the prophets and in the prophets. But Jesus was uniquely the incarnation. He was more than a prophet. It's interesting. Jesus claimed, and we're going to see this later, prophets spoke in the name of the Lord. They always, when they spoke and spoke directly for God, they would always say, thus saith Jehovah, or thus saith the Lord. We translate the Lord. And they would simply, they were saying what? We speak for God. We are not God. You know, we represent him. We are an ambassador. We are not the king. But when Jesus spoke, it's interesting, he used a term that the Father always spoke in him. There was no distinction between him speaking and God speaking. It was such a unity. And see, this is what he claimed. And see, his own disciples later had a problem. Remember, Philip said, before he was going to be crucified the next week or so, Philip said, well, you know, it'll be enough if you show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, how long have I been with you and you don't know me? He says, I and the Father are one. You know, and he made this declaration several times, and again, they didn't fully get it. See, they were saying, show us some vision, show us some... And he was saying, what God is showing you is in me. And it's the only way you're going to comprehend what he wants you to know. You know? You're not capable of seeing or comprehending God like the angels do. See, the scripture says the angels always behold his face. What does this mean? This means that who God is and what he's chosen to reveal himself, the angels never have a problem in his presence. It doesn't mean they stand before the throne all day long and stare at his face. See, again, he's using an illustration. Wherever an angel is, he's in God's presence. Why? God is everywhere, but he does not reveal himself everywhere. He hides from the wicked. He conceals himself. But he says, because the angel is pure and holy and obeys him, wherever the angel is, he's always in the full presence of God. And so he was saying, why? Because, see, nothing blocks them. There's no sin in them. There's no rebellion. God can't show himself, you know, to them in that way. And so Jesus was saying, but while we are in the human flesh, even Christians, God is limited to how he can reveal himself. It says here, we see dark. We're looking through the Bible actually means a colored glass. You know how you see a tinted dark glass, you have to sort of go up to it. And he's saying we can see something of what God reveals. But when we cross over, we will be in the full light. And that's why John promises, Jesus in the book of Revelation says, and they shall see his face. They shall know him as he is. That means as God intended, with no barriers and nothing standing in between. So he's telling them, while you have me, believe what I tell you. Because if you do not, we're going to see this principle runs all through the scriptures, and Jesus used it often. If he reveals something, and you resist what God says, the light you have will be taken from you. You'll be hardened. What you once believed, you will not believe. So that's the danger of people who've known the Lord and backslide. Sometimes they become so hardened, they don't really believe they were ever saved in the first place. See, sin has so blinded them, they can't see the light was taken from them. And there's a danger here. See, that's why he says we have to be careful to walk while we have him. The more is given, God requires more. When God reveals something, he expects us to obey it. There is no option in the matter. There is no voting. There is no deciding. He expects us to obey it. And so this is what he's saying. While you have me, believe who I am. Because when I'm gone and the full light's gone, all you're going to have left is the devil and the lies. And then what are you going to do? So this is what he was trying to tell them, you know, that while you have me in this form, you better be listening. Because if you don't, when the Holy Spirit does come, he will not reveal anything to you. He'll only reveal it to those who are mine. See, the scripture says he does not give his spirit to the world. Those who are not his, he cannot reveal himself to properly. He refuses to do it. And see, we see this lesson again with the Pharisees. Okay, let's go on. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. Again, remember, the Pharisees and the chief priests had always sent word that if he showed himself publicly, they wanted to arrest him. They were plotting to kill him. So he spoke, and then he just moved out of the way temporarily. Within a week or so, he's going to be crucified. So he's coming. He's already been to the temple, and he's going to make a few more statements before they arrest him. But though he had performed, listen, so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. See, had they understood Scripture, even the Pharisees, had they been willing to search the Old Testament properly, they would have understood that he fulfilled the scripture that spoke about him. They were willing to believe he was a prophet, many of them. He did signs and wonders. He healed and raised the dead. Now, you've got to remember, for 400 years, they had no prophet. There were no miracle workers. There was no one on the scene. Israel was spiritually dark. And the Pharisees and the high priests were a false, watered-down Judaism is what they were. They did not represent God properly. Actually, he called them hypocrites and blind guides, and they were religious leaders. Hasn't changed too much today, has it? And see, that's what they did. And so he was telling them this, you know. And see, he gave them certain proofs, and they resisted each time. Why? They didn't want him interrupting with their religious system. They made their money and their living that way. See, they were willing to say, well, we'll believe you're a prophet. But when he would not come under their authority, when he would not flatter them, when he would not accept them and actually call them hypocrites and liars and blind guys, well, no wonder they hated him. He was threatening to what? To destroy their system because it was false. They misrepresented God. And he came as a prophet to tell them this. Well, they didn't like it. So they sought a means. And even though he raised the dead, they immediately plotted to kill him because they was afraid the people would follow him. Isn't it interesting? They were more worried about themselves. They weren't worried about the truth. And what was God's response to them? The scripture says he took the truth from them. He made them darker. He let the devil have them further. See, that's the consequences. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. You cannot resist the Spirit of the Lord and walk away the same. See, Paul said to Christian ministers and teachers, when they preach and teach the gospel, says they minister life or death to people. See? When they speak the word of God and it begins to convict and disturb people, the people, when they're disturbed, will either say, that is truth and I must fall under God's will, or they say, I don't want to hear this, that's too hard. And see, it doesn't matter whether it's too hard. The person has to say, is it the truth? That's always the issue. It's not whether I like it or I dislike it. See, when God ministers his word, he never asks man his opinion. He simply states a fact. This is what the truth is. Now, you will either obey it or disobey it. And God said, I will minister life or death accordingly. If you resist the spirit of life, what's left? Spirit of death. Satan has the right to deceive and blind people who refuse to listen to God. God says that's his right. He is the God of this world. Then he can control their influence. He can influence them. He can lie to them and make them believe the lies. He can tell them they're okay and then go straight to hell when they're not okay. He can tell them they're Christians and they'll believe it when they're not Christians. Multitudes, Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord, when he consigns them to hell. And they believe they were Christians. And they're going to find out too late they weren't. It wasn't according to the truth. What a person believes does not count. It's whether they believe the truth. See, a lot of people say, well, it don't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. There's a lot of sincere people in hell because they believe the wrong thing. Scripture doesn't teach you can believe whatever you want. Actually, it says the exact opposite. So again, he tells them, he told them who he was. They believed he was a prophet to a degree. But you know, when he started telling them that I came down from heaven, ooh, that disturbed them. See, they understood he was saying, I'm a uniquely different person. I'm not ordinary. You know, I've taken on the human nature. Then they seek to kill him. See, they were willing to accept him as a prophet. They was willing to accept him even as a Messiah. But when he said, I and the Father are one. See, no prophet would ever say that. He'd been stoned to death for it. No prophet would have ever said, I came down, that I existed before Abraham. See, none of them would have dared to say that. But he said it. And he told them, well, what I'm telling you is the truth. That before Abraham was, he said, I am. See, and if they were listening, and they were, because they picked up stones at one time and sought to kill him. He said, why are you? He said, because you, being a man, make yourself equal to God. And you know it was the truth. They were not willing. And then he told them, too. He said, search the scripture, for they speak of me. And in them, the scripture, he says, is eternal life. But see, they could not. They had so perverted God's word. This was another indictment against them. Jesus told the Pharisees, he basically, in our language, here's what he said to them. He said, you cannot escape hell. Now, you imagine a religious minister, you imagine someone coming along and telling that. That's not easy to receive. He says, you cannot make it to heaven. That's what he told them. He said, because you have taken the Word of God and laid it aside for your own traditions and your own teachings. And he says, you can't escape hell for doing this. Well, no wonder they wanted to kill him. See, he provoked them with what? The truth. And they sought to kill him, and they eventually succeeded. But again, it accomplished God's plan. But they did it out of malice and evil. And you know what he told them? And again, they looked at him. They said, we don't know where you came from, but our father's Abraham. Now, you got to remember, Abraham, they considered, which was, he was the first Jew. So he's our father. He's the one that God talked to, the friend of God. You know. And they say, Abraham's our father. And you know how Jesus answered them? Jesus sometimes was not politically correct. You know what he told him? He says, if Abraham was your father, you would honor me. He said, but your father's the devil. I mean, again, can you imagine religious leaders being told this? He said, your father's the devil, and you will do his work. And what did he call? He says, you're murderous. And they eventually murdered him. He was telling them what they were going to do to him. He says, you will do the work of your father. But he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would honor me. Why? Because Abraham recognized God when he was speaking and obeyed him. The Pharisees did not. And Jesus was speaking as God and for God, and they could not recognize it. See? And they did what? They went to the place where they told Jesus, you have a demon. They called, and that's when Jesus said, you've blasphemed the Spirit. He basically said, when a person does this with the knowledge they had, he said, they can never be saved. That was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And they knew as a prophet that he raised the dead, healed the sick, and they were willing to acknowledge this. But when they didn't like what he said, they said, you have a demon. And that was to say, what he did by the devil. When they knew that God had did it in him. So that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness. God will never save them. And that's how far they had gone. See, even the scripture said, had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have killed him. Even the wicked leaders. But see, the devil kept it from them. And God says, do it. They've refused the light, give them the lie. See, again, that's the principle of the kingdom. If you reject God's truth, God tells the devil, believe the lie. There is no spiritual vacuum. There's either the truth or a lie. Okay, and so though he performed so many signs, yet they were not believing in him. What were they not believing? They believed he was a prophet. They believed he spoke for God at times. They did not believe what he said. I came down from heaven, and everything I tell you is the Father speaking in me. That God is in me. And that was Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Notice when the Spirit came on him, when John baptized him, remember he saw the Spirit take the form of a dove and land on him. When the Spirit of the Lord came on prophets and kings in the Old Testament, he came on them temporarily to do a work. But when it came on Jesus, the scripture says, John says, it remained on him. See, he stayed with him. You know how long it stayed with him? Until the Lord forsook him on the cross, till he was the sin offering. Remember right before he went, the day before, he says, though all forsake me, he says, the Father hath not left me. But the Father did leave him when he was made the sin offering on the cross. And see, and when he said, it's finished, and died, then the full glory of God returned to him. You know, when he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven. And that's what the scripture says. Everything that he had as God was restored to him at that moment. Okay, so let's go on. For though he had done these things, they did not believe. Now you can see this principle again. This was to fulfill the word that Isaiah the prophet had spoken. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He revealed it to the Jews. For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah had spoken it. He has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their hearts, so that they will not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, that I should save or heal them. What was he saying? The consequence of them rejecting him, God's punishment was what? I will blind them. When Isaiah's speaking, he's speaking for Christ. And he said, go. And again, we're going to see this principle, and we've gone there many times, but we need to go back. Go back to Matthew. Chapter 13. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them? Many of these people, why do you speak to them and the Pharisees in parables? Remember, parables were stories that sometimes concealed things as much as they revealed. They were intended to reveal the truth to some and hide the truth from others. They were like little puzzles. And the disciples wondered why Jesus did this often when the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees were around. Well, again, he's telling us why. Because of the wickedness of their heart. And notice what he says here. And Jesus said to them, who? The disciples and the ones who walk in the light and the ones who follow the truth. Notice what the word is to them. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God wants you to know these spiritual things, you that are his. But notice what he says. But to them it has not been granted. See? Jesus himself had said something interesting. People have a problem with it. When the Pharisees, they were very intellectual. Remember, they were the lawyers and the intelligent people. They were the brilliant ones. And yet Jesus lifted up his voice and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise. But you revealed them to babes. He meant to the disciples, the simple, average person that was willing to obey what God told him. He would say, what? I will give you the mysteries, but these I will not. See, Paul said he will take the wise in their own craftiness. If they want to play an intellectual game with God, they'll lose. See, people cannot find God by intellectual pursuit. They can only find him when he removes the veil. It's a spiritual revelation. It's not an educational thing. See, that's why even Paul said not many educated can be saved. See, it's not that God's against them. He said not many rich are going to be saved. Simply because their education and their riches get in the way. And they have to come like everybody else comes. God will not treat them on any special issue. Actually, it costs them a little more. Because they have to give up what they think is important that is important to God. So they think, well, if I can examine God, and God says, you can't do it. You can only know me if I reveal myself to you. You can search to the end of the universe and you'll never find me if I don't want to show myself. Because sin will keep you from this. This is why the scripture said, and Jesus told the Jews, you shall seek me, but you will not find me, and you will die in your sins. Who will they seek? They'll still be seeking the Messiah when he came and told them, I'm him, and you killed me. And you're still seeking, but I was here, and you didn't get it. See? And he said, and many will seek the Lord. Amos says this, they will go to and fro throughout the earth seeking the Lord. But he said, but they will never understand, because they will not seek him on his terms. They will not obey him. And you know this. People claim to be Christians. And they disobey God. And every time an evangelist comes into town or something, they run to this church or they run to that wanting a blessing. They're going to get nothing. You're going to get nothing. Because it's the same God. And if you disobey him, you can go wherever you want. You're not going to get nothing. And if you get anything, you're going to get a lying spirit from a false prophet. Because it's the same God. So if you disobey God, don't matter where you go. Jonah disobeyed God, and he tried to go to the ends of the earth, and God found him, didn't he? He tried to disobey God and got ate by a fish for it. And even the men on the boat who were idolaters, scripture says they worship, they can understand why he was sleeping. He didn't want to obey God. He was hoping the boat would sink. And he told him, he was honest. And they got him, so how come you're not praying? You know, we're in this great storm and we're all going to die. And he said, it's because of me. And can you imagine? He said, it's because of me. And he said, well, what did you do? What can we do to save you? And he said, throw me in the ocean. And it says they kept praying. They didn't just want to, you know, and the storm got worse. And as soon as they throw him in the ocean, the sea stops. And they saw the fish eating. See? He knew you can't run from God. There ain't no running from God. David said, where shall I go if I go into Hades, which he meant the depths of the grave? He said, can I hide from him there? The universe is inside God. Where are you going to go to get away from him? If you go to heaven, he's there. If you find yourself tormented in hell, the Bible says that's the wrath of God. The flames of hell is God's judgment on the wicked. So you're not away from him. You're not in communion with him. He'll never listen to the person's prayer. But they're under his wrath forever. There's no place to get away from God. Okay, let's take a break. We'll take about a 5-minute break.